God's Aeonian Purpose, Chapter 17. The Millennial Kingdom, Israel's Hope, by Adlai Laudi. For your days shall be filled and you lie with your fathers, yet I will set up your seed after you, who passes forth from your bowels, and I establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I establish his throne for the aeon. 2 Sam 7:12-13. God swears to him, David, with an oath, out of the fruit of his loin to seat one on his throne. Foreseeing this, he speaks concerning the resurrection of Christ, that he was neither abandoned to the unseen, nor was his flesh acquainted with decay. Acts 2:30-31. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God shall be giving him the throne of David, his father, and he shall be reigning over the house of Jacob for the aeons, and of his kingdom there shall be no consummation. Luke 1:32-33. Now, whenever he may again be leading the firstborn into the inhabited earth, he is saying, and let all the messengers of God worship him. Heb 1:6. For not to messengers does he subject the future inhabited earth concerning which we are speaking. Heb 2:5. And the seventh messenger trumpets. And loud voices are heard in heaven, saying, the world kingdom became our Lord's and his Christ's, and he shall be reigning for the aeons of the aeons. Amen. Rev 1:15. Lo! He is coming with clouds, and every eye will be viewing him, those also who stab him, and all the tribes of the land will be grieving over him. Rev 1:7. I come to perceive in the visions of the night, and behold, with the clouds of the heavens, he arrives as the son of a mortal. And to him is granted authority, and esteem, and a kingdom, and all the peoples, the races, the languages are serving him. His authority is an aeonian authority which passes not away, and his kingdom that has not pawned. Dan 7:13-14. And the kingdom and the authority and the majesty of the kingdom under all the heavens is granted to the people of the saints of the supremacies. The kingdom is an aeonian kingdom, and all authorities shall serve and hearken to it. Dan 7:27. The scriptural evidence presented above should show to all truth lovers that God will set up a kingdom on this earth which shall embrace all the kingdoms under the whole heavens, with Messiah Ben David sitting on the throne of his father, in which God's will is to be done as it is in heaven. In chapter V we pointed out in the scriptures that this would be a literal kingdom, in the primary sense of the term, Jerusalem to be the capital city and the delight of all the earth, Israel the ruling people, the Sermon on the Mount the kingdom code, with all lands and peoples under the whole heavens subject to its sovereignty. Now, as our subject concerns Israel and the nations subservient to them, we must go to the circumcision writings for the testimony of truth relating to its establishment. Scriptural chronology. In chapter 15 we called attention to the fact that the desolator of Daniel 9:27 would empower a covenant with many of Israel in the land of Palestine for 7 years, and in the midst of these years, break the covenant, causing their sacrifice and gift offerings to cease and inaugurate a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, up to that time. Dan 1:2-1. Now one of the most helpful points to remember is, that all time measurements relative to the unveiling of Christ, the deliverance of watchful Israel, the resumption of the offerings, the resurrection of the faithful in Israel, and the dedication or anointing of a holy of holies in the millennial sanctuary, is computed from the breaking of the covenant in the middle of the 70th seven. An appreciation of this will enable truth seekers to enter into the revealed purpose of God in His Word, and see clearly the fulfillment of His patriarchal promises to Israel. The time period from the breaking of the covenant to the unveiling of Christ is 3.5 years, and is designated in the Scriptures as a season, and 2 seasons, and the distribution of a season. Dan 7:25. A season and seasons and half a season, Rev 1:2-14, 42 months, Rev 1:1-2, 13, 5, 1260 days, Rev 1:1-3, 12, 6, and refers to the last half of the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy, Christ's unveiling and Israel's deliverance. At the end of the 1260 days, or possibly some days earlier, Matt 2:4-22, Christ will be unveiled from heaven with power and much glory, bringing deliverance to waiting Israel. Rom 11:26-27, Heb 9:28. Of this same event, the messenger tells Daniel, "And in that era your people shall be delivered, everyone found written in the scroll." Dan 1:2-1. Now it must be remembered that this is speaking exclusively of Daniel's people, Israel. If we expect to get the mind of inspiration in these matters of revelation, it is absolutely necessary to note of whom the scriptures are speaking, and read no others into the text. The offering resumed. We are next presented with a period of 1290 days with reference to the resumption of the offerings which were made to cease at the breaking of the covenant by the desolator. But note that we are not to add these days to the 1260, but to compute them from the middle of the 70th seven, when the covenant was broken and the offerings taken away. It reads, "Now from the era the continual offering is taken away and of the giving of the desolating detestation is 1290 days, Dan 1:2-11. This carries us 30 days beyond Christ's unveiling from heaven, to the time when the offerings will be resumed and Israel's order of worship is re-established. The resurrection to aeonian life. In Daniel 12:12, we are given a statement of still greater importance concerning all the faithful in Israel, who died in the faith, not being requited with the promises. It is the better resurrection, and reads, "Happy is he who tarries and attains to 1335 days. Remembering our point of computation, the breaking of the covenant in the middle of the 70th seven, the 1335 days carries us 2.5 months, or 75 days beyond the unveiling of Christ to the first, or former resurrection and the beginning of the glorious reign of the 1,000 years. Hence, the purpose of this scripture is to console the saints in Israel of that era, suffering martyrdom at the hands of the desolator, with the happy expectation of the better resurrection. John, in the unveiling, writes concerning it, saying, "Happy and holy is he who is having a part in the former resurrection. Over these the second death has no jurisdiction, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will be reigning with him the 1,000 year, Rev 2:0-6. This is the resurrection of life, John 5:29, the resurrection of the just, Luke 14:14, in contrast with the resurrection of judgment, Rev 2:0-12, which Daniel terms aeonian repulsion and contempt, Dan 1:2-2. The millennium or 1,000 years reign. The resurrection of the saints in Israel marks the beginning of the millennial kingdom, for we are told that those who are resurrected live and reign with Christ the 1,000 years, Rev 2:0-6. The Hebrew scriptures, as well as the accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, speak of this time as the kingdom, or more specifically in Matthew, the kingdom of the heavens, and concerns the suzerainty of Israel over the other nations under all the heavens. We shall now appeal to the scriptures for evidence of their restoration and establishment in their kingdom. Israel's restoration. In spite of the abundance of scripture detailing Israel's restoration to their sovereign power and glory in the future inhabited earth, Christendom at large has been misled into believing that all the promises should have a spiritual application to the church today. That the disciples were simply mistaken when they asked the question, "Lord, art thou at this time restoring the kingdom to Israel?" But those who will give ear to what has been written will find that the delusion is not with Israel in believing that their God would make good the promised covenants which he swore he would fulfill, but with the ignorant who are wise in their own conceits, who make God a liar by twisting the scriptures to fit their spiritualizing theories. Paul wrote concerning the mystery or secret of Israel's blindness until the full complement of the nations may be entering, Rom 11:25-27, that no one should go astray in the matter. And he declared by the Holy Spirit that after the full complement of the nations should be entering, which speaks of the completing of the church which is the body of Christ, all Israel shall be saved according as it is written, Rom 11:26. So we now appeal to what is written for our testimony concerning their restoration, salvation, and kingdom glory. The first scripture we present for study is Zechariah 8:1-8, and the word of Jehovah of hosts is coming, saying, Thus says Jehovah of hosts, I am jealous for Zion with a great jealousy, and I am jealous for her with great fury. Thus says Jehovah, I return to Zion, and I tabernacle in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called the city of the truth, and the mountain of Jehovah of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus says Jehovah of hosts, Yet old men and old women shall sit in the squares of Jerusalem, and a man with a staff in his hand for multitude of days. And the squares of the city shall be full of boys and girls gambling in the squares. Thus says Jehovah of hosts, It will be marvelous in the eyes of the remainder of this people in those days. Moreover, it will be marvelous in my eyes, says Jehovah of hosts. Thus says Jehovah of hosts, Lo! It is I, saving my people from the land eastward, and from the land of the setting sun, and I will bring them, and they tabernacle in the midst of Jerusalem. And they shall come to be my people, and I will become their God, in truth and righteousness. Now let us consider how the evil effects of Israel's dispersion are to be removed by her restoration and abundant blessings in the kingdom. And the word of Jehovah is coming to me, saying, Son of mankind, the house of Israel, dwelling in their land, are defiling it by their way and by their actions. As the defilement of one who is isolated is their way before me. And I am pouring out my fury on them for the blood which they pour out on the land, and for defiling it with their idols of ordure. And I am scattering them among the nations, and they are being winnowed among the lands. According to their way and according to their actions I judge them. And my name is coming to the nations where they came, and they are profaning my holy name in saying to them, These are Jehovah's people, and they are going forth from his land. Yet I am sparing my holy name, which the house of Israel profane among the nations where they came. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, Thus says the Lord Jehovah, I do it not for your sakes, house of Israel, should I not for my holy name, which you profane among the nations where you come. And I hallow my great name, profaned among the nations, which you profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am Jehovah, avers the Lord Jehovah, by being hallowed in you before their eyes. And I take you from the nations, and gather you together from all lands, and bring you to your ground. And I will sprinkle cleansing water on you, and you are cleansed. From all your uncleanness, and from all your idols of ordure will I cleanse you. I give you a new heart, and a new spirit will I bestow within you, and take away the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will bestow my spirit within you. And I will make it that you shall walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them. And you shall dwell in the land which I gave to your fathers, and you shall become my people, and I shall be your God. And I save you from all your uncleannesses. And I call to the grain and increase it, and I will give you no famine. And I increase the fruit of the tree, and the produce of the field, that you no more may take the reproach of famine among the nations. And you shall remember your evil ways and your actions which were not good, and shall be disgusted with yourselves over your depravities and over your abominations. I do it not for your sakes, avers the Lord Jehovah, be it known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your ways, house of Israel. Thus says the Lord Jehovah, In the day I cleanse you from all your depravities I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the deserted places shall be built. And the desolate land shall be cultivated, whereas it had become a desolation to the eyes of all who passed. And they say, The desolate land is become as the garden of Eden, and the deserted, desolate, demolished cities are fortified dwelling places. And the nations which remain around shall know that I, Jehovah, build what was demolished, plant the desolate places. I, Jehovah, speak, and will do. Thus says the Lord Jehovah, for this I shall be inquired of further by the house of Israel, to do it for them. I will increase them with humans as sheep, as holy sheep, as the sheep of Jerusalem in appointed times. So the deserted cities shall become filled with humans as if sheep, and they shall know that I am Jehovah, Zech 36:16-38. Next let us give study to the 35th chapter of Isaiah, which tells of the time when the land shall be relieved of its curse to blossom in exultation, when the ransomed of Jehovah shall return to Zion with Ionian gladness in their hearts. The wilderness and the arid waste shall be glad over them, and the gourd shall exult and bud as the rose. It is budding to bud, and exults indeed, with exultation and joyous shouting. The glory of Lebanon is given to it, the honor of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of Jehovah, the honor of our God. Make the relaxed hands steadfast. Make the stumbling knees resolute. Say to the hasty of heart, "Be steadfast. Fear not. Lo, your God with vengeance shall come, with the requital of God he shall come and save you. Then shall the eyes of the blind be unclosed, and the ears of the deaf be opened, then shall the lame leap as a deer, and the tongue of the mute shout for joy. The waters are rent in the wilderness, and water courses in the gorge, and the mirage shall become a pond, and the thirsty place a font of water. In the homestead where jackals recline is grass with reeds and papyrus. And a causeway shall come to be there, and the way of holiness shall it be called. The unclean shall not pass over it, and it shall be for those walking the way. And fools shall not stray, no lion shall be there, nor shall a breaching animal ascend it, it shall not be found there. And the redeemed shall walk, and the ransomed of Jehovah shall return, and come to Zion with joyous shouting, and Ionian joy upon their heads. Gladness and joy shall overtake them, and affliction and groaning shall flee, Isaiah 35. We have given space to these long passages, because of the unquestionable testimony they bear and the clear illumination which they shed upon the future expectation of Israel, when the Lord Jehovah will restore them to their own land and make good all these promises, when they shall become his people and he will be their God in truth and righteousness. Ezekiel describes how Israel and Judah are to be the made one nation in the land, with David as their king and prince for the aeon, when an aeonian covenant of peace will be made with them, and Jehovah shall set his sanctuary in their midst. And speak to them, thus says the Lord Jehovah, lo, I take the sons of Israel from among the nations where they go, and gather them together from around, and I bring them to their ground. And I make them one nation in the land in the mountains of Israel, and one king shall become king for them all, and they shall no more be two nations, nor shall they still be divided into two kingdoms, nor shall they defile themselves with idols of ordure, nor with their detestations, nor with their trespasses. And I will save them from their dwellings wherein they sin, and I cleanse them, and they become my people, and I become their God. And my servant David is king over them, and there comes to be one shepherd for them all, and they shall walk in my judgments, and keep my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell on the land which I give to my servant Jacob, in which your fathers dwelt, and they shall dwell on it, they and their sons' sons, for the aeon. And David my servant is their prince for the aeon. And I contract a covenant of peace with them. An aeonian covenant shall it come to be with them. And I will bestow on them, and increase them, and bestow my sanctuary in the midst of them for the aeon. My tabernacle also shall be over them, and I will become their God and they shall become my people. And the nations shall know that I, Jehovah and the Hallower of Israel, by my sanctuary is being in the midst of them for the aeon. Zech 37:21-28. There is no uncertainty about the language of this scripture. The sons of Israel and Judah are to be the made one nation and kingdom in the land Jehovah gave to Jacob, and in which their fathers dwelt the land of Palestine where they, and their sons' sons shall dwell for the aeon. David will be prince over them for the aeon, occupying a place of high authority and esteem among them as Messiah's vicegerent, with honored privileges in the sanctuary accorded to no other. Zech 37:24-25. The redivision of the land. The land will be divided among the 12 tribes in parallel sections, beginning at Hamath on the north, with a section first for Dan, the next for Asher, and sections for Naphtali, Manasseh, Ephraim, Reuben, and Judah. Zech 48:1-7. Then comes the holy oblation. East and west of the holy oblation are two portions allotted to the prince, corresponding in breadth to the holy oblation. Zech 45:7-17. 48:21-22. Immediately south of the holy oblation and the portions allotted to the prince will follow sections for the tribes of Benjamin, Simeon, Issachar, Zebulon, and Gad. Zech 48:23-29. The holy oblation. The holy oblation will be divided into three parallel sections from east to west. The northern section will be the Levites' portion. Immediately south of it will be the priests' portion of corresponding size, Zech 48:10-12, in which will be located Jehovah's sanctuary. Then south of the priests' portion will be the city's portion, with its suburbs, gardens, and farming sections. The physical regeneration of the earth. The size of the new city and the location of the sanctuary and the elevation of the Dead Sea call for great physical changes in the land surface of Palestine, as well as the entire earth in that day. We recall in our study of the coming indignation the terrible earthquake that takes place at the unveiling of Christ from heaven and his power and glory. Let us now consider it in relation to what the prophet Zechariah has to say of the same event. And a great earthquake occurred such as did not occur since mankind came to be on the earth, a quake prodigious, it is so great. And the great city came to be divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fall. And every idol fled, and the mountains were not found. Rev 16:17-21. Lo! A day comes for Jehovah, and your loot is apportioned within you. And I gather all nations to Jerusalem for war, and the city is captured, and the house is rifted, and the wives ravished, and half of the city passes forth to be deported, and the people who are left shall not be cut off from the city. And Jehovah goes forth and fights those nations as in the day of the attack. And his feet stand in the day on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem from the east. And the Mount of Olives is rent in half. Eastward and seaward is a very great ravine, and half of the mountain removes northward and half toward the southland. **. He shall surround all the land as the gorge from Jebel to Rimmon, the southland of Jerusalem. And she is high, and she shall dwell beneath, from the gate of Benjamin unto the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananiel unto the king's vats. And they dwell in her, and there shall be no more demolition, and Jerusalem dwells trustingly. Zech 14:1-4, 10:11. Back in the ancient days of Phileg General. 10:25, the earth was divided, the results being the seven grand continents and many islands of the sea with which we are geographically acquainted today. But here we are given a glimpse of the great physical changes which are to take place in the future renascence of the earth, restoring it to the unity and order that prevailed in Genesis 1:9-10. The islands of the sea will flee and the mountains will not be found. The Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem from the east, will be rent in half, half of the mountain removing northward and half toward the south and forming a very great ravine eastward and seaward. Jerusalem will be raised up and called the Mountain of Jehovah. Possibly, through the great physical renewing, the earth becomes again one vast continent, surrounded by the sea, Palestine the geographical center, with Jerusalem as the capital city and seat of government, where the nations will ascend from year to year to worship the King, Jehovah of hosts. Zech 14:16-19. Isaiah 2:2-3. The capital city and seat of government. In the center of the city's portion of the Holy Oblation, the New Jerusalem will be built gloriously resplendent in its beauty, including the site of the old. Now it shall come to be in the days hereafter, the mountain of Jehovah's house shall be established at the head of the mountains, and lifted up from the hills, and to its stream all the nations. And many peoples go and say, Go and ascend to the mountain of Jehovah, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will instruct us in his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For from Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of Jehovah from Jerusalem, Isaiah 2:2-3. The city proper will be 11 miles square, with suburbs 1/2 mile on each side, making it in all 12 miles square. This will give an area of 121 square miles to the city proper, or 144 square miles inclusive of the suburbs. There will be a wall surrounding the city with 3 gates on each side, named after the tribes of Israel. On the north side, the gates are for Reuben, Judah, and Levi. On the east side, Joseph, Benjamin, and Dan. On the south side, Simeon, Issachar, and Zebulon, and on the west side, Gad, Asher, and Naphtali. Zech 48:30-34. Zechiel tells us that the name of the city in that day will be Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah is there. Zech 48:35. In Zechariah we are told that living waters will pass forth from Jerusalem in that day, flowing eastward and westward, evidently through the great ravine on the southern edge of the city caused by the great earthquake that divides the Mount of Olives. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall pass forth from Jerusalem, half of them to the eastern sea, and half of them to the latter sea. Summer and winter shall it be. Zech 1:4-8. As the day of the Lord presents the Melchizedek priesthood of Christ, these waters no doubt figure his kingly administrations passing forth from Jerusalem and affecting all mankind. The reign of righteousness. Though Messiah will be reigning as the Prince of Peace in that day, yet it will be a reign based on righteousness and law. The least infraction of the kingdom code, as expounded in the Sermon on the Mount, will receive immediate judgment. The entire catalogue of sins will be adjudicated according to the inflexible law of righteousness which characterizes that reign of the kingdom, when judgment will be immediate and summary. We have a graphic picture of the severe order of adjudication in that day in Ananias and Sapphira, in the Pentecostal administration, when the kingdom was being preached with the authority of heaven attending. Immediately, without recourse to mercy, when they lied to the Holy Spirit, they were each struck dead before Peter. And it is written of the kingdom administration, He who does deceit shall not dwell within my house, he who speaks falsehood shall not be established in front of my eyes. In the morning I will efface the wicked of the land, to cut off from the city of Jehovah all who contrive lawlessness, PSA 1017:8. This reveals that righteousness will reign and sin will be suppressed. The judgment of Gehenna will be re-established in that day. This is a truth that has lost to most of the saints, because of inaccurate translation and by not rightly dividing the word of truth. In Israel there were several executive bodies empowered to judge and execute the various laws. In Matthew 5:21, our Lord makes reference to them when expounding the kingdom code in the Sermon on the Mount. You hear that it was declared to the ancients, You shall not be murdering, yet whoever should be murdering shall be liable to the judgment. Yet I am saying to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to the judgment. Yet whoever may be saying to his brother, Raka, shall be liable to the Sanhedrin. Yet whoever shall be saying, Stupid, shall be liable to the Gehenna of fire. Here we find 2 executive bodies and 3 crimes of different degrees of enormity which Christ declared deserved to be punished with 3 different degrees of severity. First, rash and needless anger toward a brother is subject to the judgment of a lower court. This lower court consisted of a council of 23 who have the power in some cases to inflict death in a mild manner. The second crime was that of using offensive terms to a brother, like Raka, an Aramaic word, meaning empty, which deserves such punishment as the Sanhedrin, the great council of the nation, consisting of 72 chiefs, should inflict, even to that of stoning to death. The third crime, of holding a worthy brother up as stupid, meaning a reprobate, destitute of all spiritual or divine knowledge, deserved the severest punishment of the Sanhedrin, death by stoning and his body cast into the fire of Gehenna, the valley of the son of Hinnom, just below the city of Jerusalem, where the city of all or refuse was burned. In the future day of the kingdom it will again be the incinerator of the city and the receptacle of the bodies of criminals and transgressors of the law. So stringent will be the law, that if one member of the body sins, the whole will be in danger of death and consignment to the Gehenna of fire, as an object lesson against lawlessness in that day. We have this verified by Isaiah, who gives us a vision of the severity with which judgment shall be meted out to transgressors, and it shall come to be by a month's quota in its month, and a Sabbath's quota in its Sabbath, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says Jehovah. And they shall go forth and see the corpses of the men who trespass against me, for their maggot shall not die, nor shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be a repulsion to all flesh, Isaiah 66:23-24. Here we find that all who come to Jerusalem from month to month and Sabbath to Sabbath to worship before Jehovah, shall go forth and look upon the corpses of men who have transgressed Jehovah's law, and there in Gehenna fire, that is kept continually burning day and night, the portions of the bodies not burned, will be infested by the repulsive maggots. Israel judged by the 12 apostles. The government of the nation of Israel in the future inhabited earth will be in the hands of the apostles, which explains in part why there must be just 12, one for each tribe. Concerning this, the Lord Jesus made prophetic promise to them in the closing days of his earthly ministry, saying, "Verily, I am saying to you that you, who follow me, in the renaissance, whenever the Son of Mankind should be sitting on his glorious throne, you, also, shall be seated on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Matt 19:28. Just as 12 is the number of government and the kingdom, and 12 apostles are chosen to rule the 12 tribes of Israel, they are also 12 times 12,144,000 sealed out of every tribe of the sons of Israel. Rev 7:4 for kingdom administrators, who will have jurisdiction over the nations of the earth in that day, shepherding them with an iron club. Rev 1:2-5. Jehovah's sanctuary. The millennial sanctuary will not be built in the new city of Jerusalem, but in the midst of the holy oblation. Zech 45:1-6, 48:10-20:21, which locates it about 18 miles north of the city, near Shiloh, where the tabernacle rested after the sons of Israel conquered the land, and where it remained until the death of Eli. A study of the closing chapters of Ezekiel gives a wonderful vision of divine wisdom in the outlay of everything for that glorious era. Nothing will be crowded, but all will be located according to specifications in keeping with the august administration of that aeon. The new sanctuary will occupy a space of 500 reeds on each side, Zech 42:15-20, which is equivalent to about 9 English furlongs, or a little more than 1 mile square. The sanctuary dedicated. Just here we are favored with a very interesting set of figures from Daniel, concerning the anointing of a holy of holies in the millennial sanctuary. In his vision he asked, "Until when is the vision of the continual offering, and the desolating trespass, to give the sanctuary as well as the army to tramp in?" The messenger replied, "Until 2,300 evenings mornings, and the sanctuary shall be justified." Dan 8:13-14. Now by counting 2,300 evenings mornings or days from the breaking of the covenant, brings us 2 years, 10 months and 20 days beyond the unveiling of Christ, or 965 days, 32 months and 5 days after the resurrection and the beginning of the 1,000 years reign, to the dedication, or anointing of the Holy of Holies, Dan 9:24. In other words, from the time the millennial reign begins until the dedication of the sanctuary, 2 years, 8 months and 5 days have evidently been consumed in building the glorious edifice, which will have the admiration of all the world for its hallowed location and architectural beauty. The Shekinah glory. In the days of Ezekiel, he describes how the Shekinah glory of Jehovah departed from the midst of Israel. It reads, "And the glory of Jehovah passes forth from over the threshold of the house and is standing over the cherubim. And the cherubim are lifting up their wings, and are exalted from the earth before my eyes. In passing forth the wheels also I with them. And it is standing at the door of the gate of Jehovah's house at the east. And the glory of the God of Israel is over them from above, which I saw under the God of Israel at the stream Chebar, and I know that they are the cherubim." Zech 10:18-20. "And the cherubim are lifting up their wings, and the wheels with them, and the glory of the God of Israel is over them from above. And the glory of Jehovah is ascending from over the midst of the city, and stood over the mountain which is on the east of the city." Zech 11:22-23. "But in the coming day of Jehovah, when his sanctuary is erected in the midst of his ancient people again, he will cause his glory to return and fill the Holy of Holies at the time of the dedication. And he brought me to the gate which is before the way of the east. And lo, the glory of the God of Israel comes from the way of the east. And his voice is as the sound of many waters, and the earth is lightened with his glory. And the sight is as the sight which I saw in coming to ruin the city. And the sights are as the sight I saw at the river Chebar. And I fall on my face. And the glory of Jehovah comes to the house by the way of the east. And the Spirit lifts me up and brings me to the inner court. And lo, the glory of Jehovah fills the house." Zech 43:1-5. Ezekiel, describing further his vision of the sanctuary, tells how he was taken to the eastern door, where he saw living waters streaming forth from under the threshold of the sanctuary, flowing past the altar on the south side eastward, until the stream became a watercourse large enough to swim in, a watercourse not to be passed. And he is saying to me, waters are passing forth to the circuit of the east, and are descending to the gorge, and enter the sea. On passing forth into the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall come to be that every living soul, which teems everywhere the watercourses are coming, shall live. And there shall be exceedingly many fish, for the waters come there and heal, and everything lives wherever the watercourse comes. And it shall come to be that fishers shall stand on it from Ongid to Ongeglaim. They shall be for spreading out nets. And on the watercourse, ascending the shore, is every food tree of this and of that, whose leaf is not decaying, and whose fruit does not come to an end. Monthly there is for striped fruit, for its waters, they pass forth from the sanctuary, and its fruit is for food, and its leaf for healing." Zech 47:1-12. These living waters, flowing forth from the sanctuary, evidently figure the abundant spiritual blessings that will flow to mankind in that day, when every heart shall be satisfied. The causeway. Then will the oft-perverted passage of Isaiah 35:8-9 be fulfilled, and a causeway shall come to be there, and a way, the way of holiness shall it be called. The unclean shall not pass over it, and it shall be for those walking the way. This causeway will be a magnificent elevated boulevard, about 18 miles long, reaching from the city to the sanctuary, called the Way of Holiness, on which the ransomed of Jehovah shall walk, with Aeonian joy upon their heads. The order of divine service. Apparently little consideration is ever given by teachers to the order of divine service that will prevail during the millennial reign. Christendom, not recognizing the teaching of the scriptures concerning the readjustment of the aeons, has tried to make the coming kingdom a present reality. By confusing the present spiritual counterparts with future fulfillments, they have been actually spiritualized away. But let us bear in mind that the two great aeons of glory are yet future in God's aeonian purpose. The first, the coming aeon, will be the made glorious by Christ's reign as priest king after the order of Melchizedek, confirming all the patriarchal promises to Israel, and through them blessing all the families of the earth. In the last, the aeon of the aeons, which is the administration of the complement of the eras, the universe will be headed up in the Christ, as the Son of His love, and He will reign until all things are reconciled unto Him through the peace made by the blood of His cross, whether on the earth or in the heavens. But in the coming aeon Israel is to be restored to the land of their fathers and Jehovah's sanctuary set in the midst of them, that better covenant, instituted on better promises, will be confirmed, and their priestly order of worship will be resumed to a finality. The better covenant. Few phrases are more confusing and misleading than the New Testament. The majority of truth lovers have had planted in their hearts the erroneous idea which causes them to think of the Greek scriptures as the New Testament and the Hebrew scriptures as the Old Testament. Yet, in truth, the New Covenant, or Testament, is found in the Old Testament. It has never been in force yet, and New Testament times will not come until after the coming indignation when Jehovah calls Israel and Judah back to Himself and the land of their fathers, as we have been studying in this chapter, and erects His sanctuary in the midst of them for the aeon. Jeremiah gives it in full, "Lo! The days come, avers Jehovah, I contract with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah a new covenant, not as the covenant which I contract with their fathers in the day I held fast their hand, to bring them forth from the land of Egypt, which covenant of mine they frustrate, and I was their owner, avers Jehovah. For this is the covenant which I will contract with the house of Israel after those days, avers Jehovah, I will bestow my law within them, and on their hearts I will write it, and I will become their God, and they shall become my people. And no more shall a man teach his associate, and a man his brother, saying, Know Jehovah, for all shall know me, from the small to the great, avers Jehovah. For I will pardon their depravities, and their sin will I remember no more." Jer 31:31-34. A discriminating study of this scripture reveals that the new covenant is not for the nations, but for the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It is confirmed to the faithful in Hebrews 8:8-12, which speaks of the future inhabited earth, Heb 1:6-2:5, when they have been restored to their own land and receive their Messiah. Then will He inscribe His law on their hearts, and they shall walk in His statutes, and keep His judgments, and do them. Worship. The priestly order of approach to Jehovah will be re-established. The Levites as a class will be allowed temple service but will be barred from priestly duties, because of leading the house of Israel astray to idols in the past. For should it be the Levites who are far from me in the straying of Israel, who stray from me after the idols of ordure, and bear their depravity, they also shall become ministers in my sanctuary, supervisors at the gates of the house, and ministers of the house. They shall slay the ascending offering and the sacrifice of the people, and they shall stand before them to minister to them, because they ministered to them before their idols of ordure, and became to the house of Israel a stumbling block of depravity. So I lift up my hand on them, avers the Lord Jehovah, and they bear their depravity. And they shall not be close to me, to be priests to me, nor to be close to any of my holy things, to the Holy of Holies. And they bear their confounding and the abominations which they do. And I give into their keeping the keeping of the house, for all its service and for all which is done in it, Zech 44:10-14. From the sons of Zadok, priests are to be chosen to officiate in the holy places of the sanctuary, and the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, who kept the charge of my sanctuary when the sons of Israel strayed from me, they shall draw near to me, to minister to me, and shall stand before me to offer to me the suet and the blood, avers my Lord, Jehovah. They enter my sanctuary, and they draw near to my table, to minister to me. And they keep my charge, Zech 44:15-16. The sacrifices. Of the sacrifices of that era, There will be a daily morning ascending offering, but apparently no evening offerings. This is described by Ezekiel as follows, and the flawless yearling lamb shall you make an ascending offering to Jehovah daily, morning by morning shall you make it. And the present shall you make with it morning by morning, the sixth of an ephah, and a third of a hin of oil to moisten the flour, a present to Jehovah, a statute of aeonian continuance. And they make the lamb, and the present, and the oil morning by morning, a continual ascending offering, Zech 4:6, 13-15. There will be six offerings connected with the worship of that day: the ascending, burnt, the present, meat, the libation, drink, the sin, the peace, and the guilt, trespass. These are enumerated in the following scriptures in relation to their worship, and he is saying to me, the north room, the south room, which face the sequestered place, they are holy rooms, where the priests who approach Jehovah shall eat that which is holy of holies. There they shall leave that which holy of holies be, and the present, and the sin, and the guilt offerings, for the place is holy, Zech 4:2, 13. And on the prince shall come the ascending offerings, and the present, and the libation, and the festivals, and in the months and in the Sabbaths. In all the appointed times of the house of Israel he shall make the sin offering, and the peace offering, to make propitiation for the house of Israel, Zech 45:17. Apparently only two festivals, or feasts, will be observed during the millennial reign: that Passover and Tabernacles, or Booths. These are very significant and worthy of our most earnest consideration. The Passover Festival. They will observe the Passover festival, but no Passover lamb will be slain, as Christ fulfilled that type in his sacrifice on the cross. Let us consider what is written concerning this festival. On the 14th day of the first month, shall your Passover festival occur. 7 days that which is unleavened is eaten. And on that day the prince shall make for himself and for all the people of the land a bullock for a sin offering. And 7 days of the festival he shall make an ascending offering to Jehovah of 7 bullocks and 7 rams, flawless, daily the 7 days, and a sin offering of a hairy goat daily. And he shall make a present of an ephah for a bullock and an ephah for a ram, and a hin of oil for an ephah, Zech 4:5, 21-24. It is then that the words of Christ will find fulfillment which he spoke to his disciples when eating the last Passover with them, and taking the cup and giving thanks, he gives it to them, saying, "I'll drink of it, for this is my blood of the new covenant, being poured out for many for the pardon of sins. Now I am saying to you that I may under no circumstances be drinking henceforth of this, the product of the grapevine, till that day whenever I am drinking it new with you in the kingdom of my Father," Matt 26:27-30. Here in the kingdom, at the festival of the Passover, they will drink the cup of the new covenant, a memorial of the great deliverance which Christ's sacrifice on Golgotha accomplished. It will direct the minds and hearts of the people back to the cross. The Festival of Booths. The Festival of Booths, Tabernacles, will be observed by representatives of all nations, and will be a grand universal national thanksgiving for unfailing and fruitful seasons. Under the direction of King Messiah, once a year all nations will be under bond to send their representatives to Jerusalem to worship and return thanksgiving unto Jehovah for his abundant blessings upon them. And it shall be that everyone left from all the nations that come against Jerusalem, a quota shall ascend year by year to worship the King, Jehovah of hosts, and to celebrate the Festival of Booths. And it shall be that the families of the earth who will not ascend to Jerusalem to worship the King, Jehovah of hosts, on them shall be no downpour. And should the family of Egypt not ascend and not come, that have none, on them shall be the stroke with which Jehovah strikes the nations which do not ascend to celebrate the Festival of Booths. Zech 1:4, 16-19. The Missionary Enterprise. The missionary enterprise will be carried out by the ministers of God according to the program of the Great Commission decreed for the day. The reason for the sad failure experienced by our missionary movements today is because they are out of harmony with God's program. They are attempting to carry out Israel's future missionary work now, instead of giving heed to our own commission as ambassadors of Christ, to proclaim the evangel of the grace of God and the conciliation. In that day, the sons of Israel will be called the priests of Jehovah, and the ministers of our God by the nations Isaiah 6:1-6, and will go forth with the authority of reigning Messiah and fulfill the great commission as it is written, "An authority in heaven and on earth was given to me. Going then, disciple all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to be keeping all, whatever I direct you. And lo, I am with you all the days till the conclusion of the aeon. Amen." Matt 28:18-20. This scripture, apportioned to its proper place in God's aeonian administrations, exemplifies how ministers of the priestly nation of Israel shall go forth to all the world in the day of the Lord and disciple all the nations, not a few individuals out of the nations, teaching them to observe all whatever Messiah directs them. Then shall men of distant cities and strong nations come to Jerusalem to worship before Jehovah. Thus says Jehovah of hosts, "Yet there shall come peoples and dwellers of many cities. And the dwellers of one shall go to another to say, 'We are going to go to beseech the face of Jehovah, and to seek Jehovah of hosts. Moreover, I will go.' And many peoples and strong nations come to seek Jehovah of hosts in Jerusalem and to beseech the face of Jehovah. Thus says Jehovah of hosts, 'In those days 10 mortals from all the languages of the nations shall hold fast, and they shall hold fast the hem of the man who is a Jew, saying, "We will go with you, for we hear that God is with you." Zech 8:20-23. This gives us a glimpse of how eagerly the nations, in that day, will receive the glad message of the reigning Messiah in Jerusalem and come to worship before him. The earth relieved of its curse. When Adam sinned, he dragged all creation down with him, and for 6 millenniums the creation has been subjected to vanity and the slavery of corruption, groaning and travailing together until now, as Paul sets forth in Romans, "For I am reckoning that the sufferings of the current era do not deserve the glory about to be revealed for us. For the premonition of the creation is awaiting the unveiling of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to vanity, not voluntarily, but because of him who is subjecting it, in expectation that the creation itself also shall be freed from the slavery of corruption into the glorious freedom of the children of God. For we are aware that the entire creation is groaning and travailing together until now." Rom 8:18-25. Yet in the future inhabited earth, under the beneficent reign of Messiah, creation itself, freed from the slavery of corruption, will respond to his redemptive work. The desert will blossom as the rose, orchards will bend low with freighted fruit, vines will hang their purple clusters in the sun, the earth will again be a paradise and man its happy keeper. Of this time, Jehovah says, "I will open streams on ridges, and springs in the midst of valleys. I will make the wilderness a pond of water, and an land fount of water. I will give the wilderness the cedar, the acacia, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will place in the gorge the fir, the elm and the box together, that they may see and know and place with intelligence together, that the hand of Jehovah does this, and the Holy One of Israel creates it." Isaiah 41:18-20. The renascence of the earth in the day of the Lord will display so unmistakably the omnipotence of Jehovah that all will acknowledge and ascribe to him the glory and praise together with adoration and worship. The animal kingdom blessed. The animal kingdom, though innocent of the transgression of man, nevertheless, has had to suffer all its consequences passively. But in the glorious era of the millennium it will share the blessedness of the reign of the Prince of Peace. And the wolf sojourns with the lamb, and the leopard shall recline with the kid, and the calf and the sheltered lion and the fatling shall be together, and a small youth leading among them. And the heifer and the bear shall feed, and their young shall recline together. And the lion shall eat crushed straw as a beaver, and the suckling revels on the hole of the cobra, and on the light shaft of the yellow viper the weanling obtrudes his hand. They shall not do evil and not ruin, in all my holy mountain. For the earth is full of the knowledge of Jehovah as the waters are a covering for the sea. Isaiah 11:6-9. It is evident, from what is written, that everything in that blessed era will feel the boon of his glorious presence, save the serpent, the medium through which Satan beguiled Adam and Eve in Eden. Of it we are told, and the wolf and lambkin shall feed, and the lion shall eat crushed straw like the beaver, soil shall be the serpent's bread. They do not destroy, and do not ruin, in all my holy mountain, says Jehovah, Isaiah 65:25. The whole creation, blighted by the curse of sin, should be restored to its original beauty and harmony, save the serpent, which, though rendered harmless, apparently continues to grovel its way upon the ground, possibly as a sign of the ancient deception of Satan, and a warning of his future release for a little season at the close of the 1,000 years. The blessings of mankind. Mankind will share to the full in the general blessedness of the long millennial day. Physical vitality shall be strong and generous, and premature death will be unknown. Thenceforth there shall not come to be one brought up a few days, nor an old person who has not filled his days, for a youth 100 years old shall die, and a sinner of 100 years shall be lightly esteemed, Isaiah 65:20. One may die 100 years of age and still be called a youth, while a sinner of 100 years shall be lightly esteemed, and dealt with according to Jehovah's righteous judgment. The temporal prosperity holds forth a glorious prospect for the sons of Israel in that day. And they build houses and they dwell, and they plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another dwell, they shall not plant and another eat, for as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and my chosen shall wear out what their hands have made. They shall not be weary for naught, nor generate for flurry, for the seed of the blessed of Jehovah are they, and their issue with them. And it shall come to be, ere they call, I will answer, while they are still speaking, I will hear, Isaiah 65:21-24. Again it is written, in that day I will raise up the booth of David which is fallen, and its breaches I will dike with stones, and I will raise up what is demolished, and build it as in the days of the Eon, that the remnant of mankind may occupy it, and all the nations on whom my name is called, avers Jehovah, who does this. Lo! The days come, avers Jehovah, and the plowman comes close to the reaper, and the treader of grapes him who draws forth the seed, and the mountains drop juice, and the hills shall be dissolving. And I restore my people Israel from captivity, and they build the desolate cities and dwell. And they plant vineyards and drink the wine, and make gardens and eat their fruit. And I plant them on their ground, and no more pluck them up from the ground which I give them, says Jehovah, your God, Amos 9:11-15. It will be a great change when Christ is king over all the earth, for then the prophet will go to the toiler. However, it is well to remember that when Israel comes into their place as the royal priesthood of Jehovah, all nations, tribes, and peoples will be subject to their suzerainty, serving as herdsmen, farmers, and vineyardists. Thus says Lord Jehovah, lo! I shall lift up my hands to the nations, and I shall raise my ensign to the peoples, and they shall bring your sons in their bosom pouches, and your daughters shall be carried on their shoulders, and kings become your foster fathers, and their kefesses your wet nurses. They shall bow down to you, face to the earth, and shall lick up the soil of your feet, Isaiah 49:22-23. Again, and aliens stand and feed your sheep, and sons of a foreigner are your farmers and vineyardists. And you shall be called the priests of Jehovah, and shall be termed ministers of our God. You shall eat the estate of the nations, and by their glory shall you be changed, Isaiah 61:5-6. With the kingdom under all the heavens committed to the sovereignty of Israel, Dan 7:27, then the promise to Abraham, General 1:2, 3, will be fulfilled, and all the families of the earth will be blessed. Justice and security of life will be assured to all from the least unto the greatest under this glorious reign of righteousness. He shall judge the humble of the people, he shall save the sons of the needy, and shall crush the oppressor. PSA.72.4. And the suckling revels on the hole of the cobra, and on the light shaft of the yellow viper the weaseling obtrudes his hand, ISA.118. And the squares of the city shall be full of boys and girls gambling in the squares, ZEC.8.5. What is the great king's ideal for child life revealed here? Play. But with what shall they play? With that from which we carefully and necessarily guard our little ones today. With no thought of harm, in that glorious era, the little dimpled fist of a child may be entwined in the mane of a great shaggy lion and lead him about as his royal playmate. The glorious era of the millennium holds forth a prospect of the most favorable and perfect environment yet enjoyed by man, but we must emphasize the fact, contrary to the idea entertained by many of the saints, that it closes with the greatest apostasy of all the eons. Instead of the glory and honor and prosperity and well-being leading to heart allegiance to God, it results in an innumerable host, countless as the sands by the seashore, seizing the first opportunity that comes to show their latent hostility to him and his saints. Let us bear in mind that all the eons, except the final one, end in failure and disaster, and each in increasing measure. The first brought on the disruption, the second the deluge. The present wicked eon closes in the awful judgments of the apocalypse. But the worst failure of all will be the close of the millennium. We must look beyond the millennium, beyond the great white throne, yea, beyond the new heavens and earth, beyond to the consummation, for perfection and finality, when God is all in all. Copyright Concordant Publishing Concern. Return to main index page.